welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Gastropod is an original play written by Marshall Oliphant. It takes place in eastern Washington, not far from the Hanford nuclear plant. Here's Greg Porter as the sheriff in Gastropod.
American Radio Theater invites you to travel back in time, back to those innocent, paranoid years of 1950s America, when our only real enemies were communists. All horrors, real or imagined, could be laid upon the altar of the atomic bomb, and duck and cover was our mantra. Sit back with your weapon of choice and listen to the imagination of Marshall Oliphant as he shares his tale of Gastropod. And now, Gastropod. It is the summer of 1956 in the small, isolated town of Apple Blossom in eastern Washington. The time is early morning. The place, the Apple Blossom Cafe.
Morning, Sheriff. The usual?
Why not, Mary Jo? Might as well have my usual breakfast at my usual hour in my usual cafe.
Double cackles over easy. Links and flaps. My, Sheriff, it sure sounds like someone got up on the wrong side of the bed today.
That's just the trouble, Mary Jo. I didn't get up on the wrong side of bed today. I didn't cut myself shaving. I didn't accidentally put on mismatched socks or forget to zip my fly. I didn't do anything different today. Nothing different ever happens in this one-horse town.
I declare, drink your coffee, you young grouch. It'll make you feel better.
Sheriff, I'm glad I found you. I've been looking all over.
Where else would I be at this time of morning, Deputy?
Well, Anyway, Sheriff, something terrible has happened.
Well?
Huh?
Pull yourself together, man.
Okay. It's out to Ole Sprague's place, Sheriff. His missus just called, crying and carrying on something awful. Says a bunch of their cows have all gone flat, and that old Ole's disappeared.
Flat cows?
Steamroller flat, Ma Sprague says, and all covered up with some kind of goo. Course, now Ma's all scared that maybe old Ole's gone flat someplace, too.
Pod, have you any idea how ridiculous this sounds?
Sure, Sheriff, but then it ain't my story.
Yes, you're right. I better hold off on breakfast, Mary Jo. I've got some investigating to do. Come on, Pod.
10-4.
I declare, darned if Sheriff hasn't gone and got himself his something different.
Watch it, Sheriff. Miss Sprague, this stuff's slippery. Pick it back off onto the side. Geez, looks like a highway of spit. 10 yards wide and a mile long.
We could do without your graphic description, Pod, but thanks for the warning. Now, where'd you say the flat cows were, Miss Sprague?
Oh, just around the bend. There they are, Sheriff. All what's left of Elsie, Elmer, Bessie, and Penelope.
Jeez, Sheriff. Darned if they don't look like four big leather pancakes covered in corn syrup.
Pod, you ever thought about becoming a writer?
Jeez, no. Do you really think I could? Oh, sorry, Miss Sprague. It's just that I ain't ever seen anything like this afore.
Brings a whole new meaning to ground beef. I don't think any of us have, Pod. Miss Sprague, you better go over there and sit on that stump while Pod and I do some investigating.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. Sheriff?
Yes, Miss Sprague?
You'll find my Ole, won't you?
I'll do my best, ma'am. Pod, I don't need to tell you, We've got us one heck of a mystery on our hands.
You ain't whistling Dixie, Sheriff. Ain't nothing in the rule book tells us what to do about a bunch of flat cows and a Mississippi River of spit.
Well, one thing's for sure, Pod. This goes way beyond our abilities. We need outside help. Somebody who can tell us what all this slimy stuff is. How it can cause the...
Popping thunder bubbles. What was that? It'd like to make my hair stand on end.
Sheriff!
What is it, Miss Sprague?
That sound! I heard it afore.
When?
Last night, around midnight, I reckon. Woke me up. Didn't think much of it at the time. Only snores, you know. Thought maybe it was just clogged up more than usual. Lordy, I just turned over and went back to sleep.
You think that sound's got something to do with what's going on around here, Sheriff?
Beats me, Pod, but I'm not taking any chances. Come on, Miss Sprague. We're taking you into town until this thing's over.
Sure is creepy out here at night, pal. Moonlight glistening off in that sea of spit and all, especially with them four flat cows over there. Just don't seem natural.
Well, Sheriff and the search party should be getting back pretty soon, Jethro. It's getting too dark out, even with the moonlight.
It seems silly to be guarding dead cows anyways, pal. What's the sheriff expect them to do? Rise up and moo? I'd sure rather be out searching for Oli with the rest of them. Hell, I'd rather be doing almost anything.
What's that?
Didn't hear nothing, pal. Didn't now. Lord Pod, let's get out of here.
I don't know. I...
Pod, it's Ole Sprague.
Jeez, what could have happened to him? Hey, Ole, it's me, Pod, your friend, Pod. You're okay now, Ole. Take it easy. It's Pod.
Pod? Pod? I know no Pod. No Pod I know. Bean Pod Pod. Pod Bing Bing. Bean Bean. Jelly Bean Bean. Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean Sing. Jelly Bean Sing. Jelly Bean Sing.
I've got Sprague calmed down now, Sheriff. He's obviously had some kind of terrible shock. I left his missus with him. Used to be a nurse, you know.
Any idea what kind of shock?
Beats me. From the way Sprague was babbling, though, I'd say that a jelly bean had something to do with it.
Well, that's swell, Doc. Now all I have to do is look for a psychopathic, slime-slobbering jelly bean that flattens cows and drives men mad.
A daunting task, Sheriff.
Ha ha.
Follow me into the lab, Harvey. I've just about finished up my analysis of that slime you brought in. Sheriff, I've analyzed this stuff just about every way I know how. The best I can come up with is that it probably came from some kind of an animal.
An animal? Cripes, Doc, it would take thousands of animals to make that much slop.
I did the best I could, Harvey. I'm a GP, for Christ's sake, not a slime doctor. You need more? You get yourself some kind of research scientist from a university or somewheres. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got some boils to lance.
You've come all the way here to Seattle from Apple Blossom to have me look at some, slime, Sheriff Finklefinger?
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Diffel...
Diffendurfer. Dr. Deanna Diffendurfer, Sheriff Finklefinger. Deanna.
Deanna. I'm Harvey.
Harvey. Harvey, did you bring your specimen?
Yes, ma'am. Deanna, I've got my specimen right here in my briefcase, in a mason jar. I washed the jar out real good before I stuck it in.
Excellent. Let me take a look at it and then tell me all you can about the circumstances under which it was found.
And so, while the rest of America argued the merits of Elvis Presley across the generation gap, washed one-year-old Chevys in the driveways of homes purchased on the GI plan, and dreamed of mom and pop and apple pie, Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer and a dedicated team of researchers worked day and night on the problem of the mysterious flattening slime of eastern Washington. Meanwhile, on an early morning back in Apple Blossom...
I'm afraid it's real bad out here to the Fafner farm, Sheriff. Just more than just cows this time. Over.
The Fafner family? Over.
Flatter than flapjack, Sheriff. That slime stuff got most of the other livestock, too. Over.
Pod, I've got an ETA of 3 minutes. Doc and the meat wagon are following. Stay inside, and for Pete's sakes, keep away from that slime. Over and out. What do you think, Doc?
The cows you showed me last time were bad enough, but Phil and Fanny Fafner, they were friends of mine, Sheriff. It's horrible. They look like two fallen cardboard cutouts.
Yeah. Still no ideas on how the slime does it?
I'm pretty sure the slime doesn't do it, Sheriff. Even my little tests pretty well proved that the slime isn't toxic in any way. I think the Fafners and the livestock on both the Sprague and Fafner farms were physically flattened, almost like they were run over or something.
Geez, Doc. By what?
Beats me, Pod. Sheriff, have you gotten any word from that research scientist in Seattle yet?
Deanna Diffenderfer. No. I asked Gertie to call her on my way over, Doc. With any luck, Gertie should be patching her through to me on the car radio any time now.
I sure hope Dr. Duffelbag can help us, Sheriff. Maybe also figure out something about that creepy slobbering sound Jethro and me heard just before old Ole popped out of the bushes at us the other night. Oh, that just scared me to poop.
Hope so, Pod. Although I'm not sure that the slime and the sound are connected yet. And the name's not Duffelbag, Pod. It's Diffenderfer. By the way, while we're on the subject of Ole Sprague, Doc, how's he doing? Are we going to be able to get any more out of him?
Doubtful, Sheriff. I can never seem to get him past his obsession with jelly beans. If he doesn't improve soon, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to ship him off to a mental hospital.
Too bad, I think.
Calling Car 1. Car 1. Sheriff Hinklefinger. I've got Dr. Diffenderfer on the line. Over.
Patch her in, Gertie. Over.
Right, Sheriff. Harvey? Deanna? Can you hear me? Harvey? Harvey? You've got to say over. Oh, sorry. Over.
I can hear you, Deanna. Go ahead. Over.
Harvey, we completed all the tests on the slime just shortly before you called in. Checked and double-checked. I think we now know what's causing all the havoc in Apple Blossom. Although, I must admit, I can hardly believe it. Over.
Well, over.
I think it's best that I tell you in person, Harvey. I'm going to be taking the university's plane to Apple Blossom within the next hour. I should be there by mid-afternoon. Check with your tower and meet me at the airport. Over and out.
Deanna! Deanna! Oh, darn.
Find out anything, Sheriff?
Not yet, but apparently she knows something. She's going to be flying... What in the name of all that's holy was that?
That's it, Sheriff. That's the sound Jethro and me heard t'other night. The slobbering. Look, it seems to be coming from near that big, spotty-looking hill over there, behind them apple trees.
Where?
There.
Pod, I don't see any hill.
Why, sure, that... I'll be. It's gone. Poppin' thunder bubbles, Sheriff. I swear there was a hill there a minute ago. A great, big, slimy-looking hill.
Sheriff! Harvey!
Hi. Take your bag?
Thanks.
My car's right over there. The black and white one.
I never would have guessed.
Oh, right. I got you a room at the Hanford Hotel. I think you'll like it.
Hanford?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what goes on over there?
At the Hanford Hotel? Well, nothing better be going on over there. At least not while I'm sheriff. I run a clean...
No, for heaven's sakes, Harvey. The town, not the hotel.
Oh, the town.
Hanford. Hanford's not too far from Apple Blossom, is it?
Well, not as the crow flies, I guess, but... What does that have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with anything, Harvey. Everything.
I saw what I saw, Jethro. Ain't no sheriff gonna tell me no different. There was a hill up ahead when I first looked this morning, and then there wasn't. Dang thing must have moved.
Hills don't move, Pout. At least not in under a jillion years or so.
Well, I'll bet this one did. And that sure is shooting. It's got something to do with that slobbering sound.
I ain't so sure we should be out here, Pout. Even in daylight. Not if there's some kind of slobbering thing on the loose.
We got shotguns, don't we? Wait. We're almost there. There. That's where I seen the hill. Right behind the Fafner's... orchard?
Lord, Pod, look at all them apple trees. All stubbled down to the trunks like someone cut off all the tops.
Just a big clearing of short sticks where the Fafner Farms family orchard used to be. Pod! Big as a hill, rising up out of the trees at the edge of the clearing.
It sees us, Pod! Oh, Lord, it sees us! Them eyes!
It's coming at us! Run, Jethro, run!
With the terrifying close of the first act of Gastropod, we pause for a moment for station identification. And now, back to American Radio Theater and the conclusion of Marshall Oliphant's original play, Gastropod. It is late afternoon, and we are in the sheriff's office of Apple Blossom, Washington. It has been over an hour since Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer, celebrated research scientist, first arrived in this slime-plagued community, and she and Sheriff Harvey Hinklefinger are engaged in solemn conversation.
Limax Maximus?
Limax Maximus, the common garden slug.
You gotta be joking, Deanna. Well, first of all, there are no slugs in eastern Washington. At least, I've never seen one. And secondly, even if there were, how on earth could a bunch of slugs cause all these terrible deaths?
Slug, Harvey. Not slugs. A slug. One slug.
Now I know you've gone off the deep end, Deanna. The thing would have to be the size of a battleship.
Precisely.
Oh, boy, that's all we need for the papers. A mad scientist with her giant slug theory.
Harvey, hear me out.
Okay, Deanna. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that I go along with your crazy assertion that there's a super slug running around loose in Apple Blossom. First of all, where would such a thing come from? Second, why haven't we seen it? It would seem to me that something that big would find it pretty hard to hide.
Harvey, do you remember when I asked you in the car about Hanford's proximity to Apple Blossom and whether or not you knew anything about what went on over there?
Yeah, so... You're not answering my question.
Yes, I am, Harvey. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we never did finish that conversation in the car. So, do you know what goes on in Hanford at the government facility?
Well, no, not exactly. Word is they manufacture plutonium or atomic bombs or something like that, but it's all pretty hush-hush. It was real hush-hush during the war.
You're right, Harvey. They do manufacture plutonium, and plutonium is...
Radioactive!
Radioactive.
Mario, you've got it. Someone from Western Washington, a truck driver bringing supplies maybe, could have transported a common garden variety slug into the Hanford plant on the tip of a shoe, perhaps. And then, when that slug was exposed to radiation...
A giant slug!
Give that man a prize!
Well, I must admit that such a hypothesis certainly would account for the king-sized trails of slime. And something that big could certainly flatten anything that got in its way. But then why haven't any of us, at least any of us still sane or alive, seen this creature? How could something that big hide from us?
I don't think it does hide, Harvey. I think it probably just plays possum when threatened. Hides in plain sight, as it were. If you've ever seen a slug, you know that it just stops dead in its track when threatened, pulls in its eye stalks and antenna, and just shrinks up into a little jelly bean-like mound. Well, I think our super slug does the same thing. Anyone not looking for it would probably just perceive it as a hill off in the distance, maybe, or a...
Jelly bean! Jelly bean! Holy! Hill? Oh, Lord, Dana. Pod, my deputy, claimed that he saw a disappearing hill out at the Fafner farm just this morning. At the time, I thought he was crazy. And so now the old fool's out there with his buddy Jethro Tupp, trying to find the damn thing in order to prove it to me.
I wish you'd told me this before, Harvey.
I didn't place any significance on it before, Deanna. Come on, grab your coat. As soon as I get us some folks to help us search, we're on our way to the Fafner farm as fast as feasible.
It's starting to get dark, Harvey. Maybe you'd better call for searchlights or something.
Not yet. We gotta keep going. There's still about an hour of good light left. Besides, Doc, Mary Jo, and the others really know the territory.
Sheriff! Sheriff!
Yeah, Mary Jo?
Found something! I'm bringing it over!
Oh, here! A cap!
It's Pod's fishing cap. His favorite. He'd never leave it behind unless...
Don't jump to conclusions, Harvey. He might...
Sheriff, over here.
What is it, Doc?
Look, up ahead. What do you make of it?
I'll be damned. A huge clearing of partially cut apple trees. It doesn't look like any kind of clearing method I've ever seen.
That area wasn't cleared, Harvey. It was eaten.
Lord, Sheriff, did you hear that?
I sure did, Doc.
Harvey, look!
Oh, my... You were right, Deanna. A giant slug the size of a battleship.
Stop moving. Let's get out of here.
Wait, Harvey!
Oh, Lord, Sheriff, look! Above the trees! It's Pod, rising up into the sky like an angel!
Help! Sheriff, help!
He's clinging to one of the giant eye stalks.
Help!
Pod! Pod, we're coming! Hang on!
Oh, my Lord, the thing heard us! It sees us! Them big, stocky eyes see us!
It's starting this way.
Oh, Pod! Run, 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 run! Sheriff, Sheriff, look! Now that thing is moving again! Pod's starting to slip! He can't hang on!
Oh, Harvey, I can't look!
Oh, no, no! Ow! Ow! Ooh,
oh, 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 my God! Lordy, Lordy! Pod's sliding and bumping down that slimy thing's back like he's riding him a roller coaster! Sheriff! Sheriff!
No, oh, no!
I think he made it!
That thing's still coming, Sheriff!
Quick! Everybody grab your rifles! Start firing at its eyes! Maybe we can get it to turn away so we can go get Pod! Fire!
Go get you!
I think you're doing it! It's turning away!
Come on, Doc! Let's get Pod!
Right behind you, Sheriff!
There it goes, Mary Jo! It's heading away from us!
That it is! But now, Lord help us! We've got it heading towards town!
It is now 2 days after what legend came to call the Battle of Fafner Farm. We find ourselves on the outskirts of the now slug-besieged town of Apple Blossom, Washington, where, after the proper authorities had been notified, a division of Washington National Guardsmen now stand battling the slug from hell. We are behind the lines with the media and frightened townspeople as the war between man and giant gastropod rages in the near distance.
And gentlemen, this is Larry Ballou, reporting to you live from Apple Blossom, Washington. The scene of the fierce battle between mankind and nature gone horribly awry. Mere words can't convey the unutterable grotesqueness of this giant, gigantic, undulating horror that rises in the distance before 10-20 stories high. Ah, as I speak, roaring its defiance to the assembled army below, and so far, winning. Ladies and gentlemen, winning, because it's soft, so soft that, like a Matterhorn of jello, it seems to be able to absorb all the projectiles being fired at. Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
I told you so. I told you so. Jelly bean seen. Jelly bean grow. Jelly bean green. Jelly bean slow.
Ollie! Poor Ollie!
What the heck is Ollie Sprague doing out of here, Doc? You think this would be the last place on Earth he should be?
Don't look at me, Sheriff. It was his psychiatrist's idea. Thought maybe it would shock him out of it or something.
Lovely, so much for psychiatry.
Ladies and gentlemen, something is happening. The guns have stopped. The guns have stopped. Please stand by.
Hello? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll talk to her and get back to you. Yes, sir. Goodbye.
What is it, Harvey?
It was the National Guard commander, Deanna. He's ordered a ceasefire. The guns are having no effect. You're the scientist. He needs your help. Think. How do you kill a slug?
Oh, Harvey, don't you think I've been racking my brain for the answer? If the slug were ordinary size, there would be several ways, of course. For one, we could use an arsenical compound.
Oh, too dangerous. The amount of arsenic we'd have to use on our slug would kill off half the town. Now, what else?
Well, maybe. Harvey, look.
Howdy, Sheriff. Dr. Diff...
What are you doing here? I thought you were supposed to stay in the hospital.
Oh, I just couldn't, Sheriff. Not with the thing what killed my best pal Jethro still running around loose. I have to be here, Sheriff, don't you see? I have to be here.
I understand, Pod. You can stay, if you keep out of the way.
Quiet as a mouse.
Good. Now, Deanna, you were saying maybe another way we could kill the slug would be...
Well, there's a new chemical compound, less poisonous.
Too bad we can't just get a giant salt shaker, Sheriff. Why, when I was a little kid, I remember we...
Pod, please!
Harvey, that's it. Salt. Salt. Why didn't I think of that before? If only we could get enough.
Salt. Sure, salt. Deanna, hand me that signal oil map. Now, the salt flats near Cashman Lake are only about 40 miles from here. Yes, I think it could be done.
What, Harvey? What could be done?
Airdrops. Salt could be shoveled onto B-52s from the salt flats, and the flats would make a good runway. The planes could fly over the slug.
And pepper him with salt. Harvey, you're a genius.
Oh, gee.
You too, Pod.
Oh, gee.
It is 8 hours later. The National Guard has managed to hold the giant slug at bay while an Air Force B-52 squadron worked to put Sheriff Harvey Hinklefinger's bold plan into effect. We are still in Apple Blossom, watching the skies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last stand of the brave little town of Apple Blossom, Washington. This is Larry Ballou reporting live from the scene as the first of several B-52s loaded with salt flies into position over the giant slug. The slug sees the plane. Ladies and gentlemen, he's rising, rearing him up to a full height in an attempt to repel the invaders from the sky. The Bombay's doors are opening, and salt begins to cascade down on the beast like a snowstorm. Hey, it's working. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest of the planes are dropping their loads now. The skies have turned white, and the slug... Yes, the slug appears to be dying. Yes, shriveling up into a giant bubbling lump of fat. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the slug is dead.
jelly bean scream, jelly bean bubble, jelly bean dead. Now no more trouble.
Oh, Ollie.
Poppin' thunder bubbles. I think we did it, Sheriff.
Harvey, we've done it.
Yes, but not we, Deanna. We, man, created this thing, meddling in places where we were not meant to go. No, it was beauty killed the beast, Deanna. The beauty of one of God's own simple creations, salt, that destroyed the thing which man in his arrogance created. For man...
Sheriff, I hate to bring this up now, interrupting your big finale speech and all, but...
Yes, Pod, what is it?
Sheriff, what the heck are we going to do with umpteen tons of dead slug? Holy cow, first thing you know, it's going to start rotting, and then it's going to start smelling, and then...
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's retelling of Gastropod, an original play written by Marshall Oliphant, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Beth Schlansky as Mary Jo, Greg Porter as Sheriff Hinklefinger, Dan Schindler as Pod Yancey, Magpie McLaurin as Ma Sprague, Nick Richa as Jethro, Mark Whitworth as Ole Sprague, Dave Leese as Dr. Bob, Linda Rasmussen as Dr. Deanna Diffendurfer, Karen Leese as Gertie, Pat McNally as Larry Ballou Radio Guy, Dean Moody as Gastropod. Music by Kevin McLeod at www.incompetech.com. Live sound effects by Lauren Walton. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
King of Swing. Yes, sir, it's Benny Goodman himself playing with his orchestra in the Manhattan Room of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. You're in the shade to begin with, yes, sir, in the shade of the old apple tree. Benny Goodman. here's the voice of lovely Martha Tilton. She's going to sing, I've Got That Old Feeling.
I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came inside, I got that old feeling. The moment that you passed by, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seemed to feel that old yearning. And I knew the spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start for that old feeling. It's still in my heart.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra picturing in music Moonlight on the Highway.
Thank you.
has a bit of something special up his sleeve. So may we present Benny Goodman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Benny Goodman announcing the trio again with Teddy Wilson at the piano, Gene Krupa at the drums, and Whispers in the Dark. Take it, Theodore.
Again, we welcome Martha Tilton to the microphone as she sings, "The Moon Got In My Eyes." Without a compromise, I guess I should have seen right through you.
but the moon got in my eye. I thought a heaven was in sight, that I would have the right to play. But with the morning's early light, I didn't have a dream to my name. You know the saying that all who love are blind. It seems that ancient adage still applies. I guess I should have seen right through you, but the moon got in my eyes.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. I do believe Benny Goodman himself would have words with you. All right, Benny?
And now, with the addition of Lionel Hampton at the vibraphones, we play Avalon. Take it, Lionel.
again to the microphone, Martha Tilton. She sings, "I'd like to see some more of Samoa." One great orchestra director salutes another one. Benny Goodman plays Duke Ellington's Caravan.
Thank you.
And after that arrangement, and can you blame him, Satan takes a holiday.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website for more podcasts. That's www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. Hey, coming soon is another of the Outstanding Marathons on April 29th at RadioOutOfThePast.org. That's 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, April 29th. See you there!